Let's pray. Dear Lord God, once again we're here on a Sunday morning, Lord, and ready to go racing. But as always, we want to start our day with you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. And Lord, as I get ready to minister to these people, I just ask that you would use your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Lord. Don't let anything I say be from me. Just let it be from you, Father. Let it be something that everybody can use and use it to draw closer to you. And in these days to come, just have a new understanding of you. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll talk about a little bit this morning is what is repentance? You know, you hear that a lot of times, you know, oh, you got to get to know Jesus and you got to repent. And it's really pretty simple. And what I want to do is I want to use an example as to very obvious as someone that repented of who they were and turned around and started living another way. See, most of us think that coming to know Jesus Christ means we got to do all this stuff and, you know, we got to give up all this stuff. And when we do that, you know, for one, life's going to become boring, which, trust me, it doesn't. Besides being boring, you think it's going to be too hard. You know, I listened to a preacher out of St. Joseph up there one time, and he said, you know, Christianity is not for sissies. And if you really think about it, it truly isn't. Because you're following God, you're trying to live up to what he wants you to live like, and that's not really easy all the time. But here's something I want to talk about, and the person I'm going to use here is Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the books in the New Testament of the Bible. And Paul, at one time, was called Saul. And I'm going to read a verse out of Acts to kind of lead into this. And it talks about a different man, a man named Stephen. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. In other words, he was a preacher, early preacher, right after Jesus went to heaven, not too long after. And, I mean, this guy, he was just full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, people just knew who he was. And, of course, he was hated. People didn't like that. That's why I want to read a verse out of Acts 7:57. It says, At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. In other words, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was irritating them, just like we, you know, with what we say here right now irritates some people. It was no different back then. But they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And here's what I want you to kind of hang on to. It says, meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. In other words, the guy that I'm going to use for an example on repentance is somebody that he made it his life to hunt down Christians. And he was a religious person, which there's a lot of religious people, you know, nowadays. There's all kinds of different religions. We had a huge post going there on the Missouri website there for a while as to what religion is right. And, you know, unless you want to believe, there's no way I can convince you that this is the right way to go. But your heart will tell you whether it is or not. But we're getting off the subject. We wanted to talk about Saul. So let's read Acts 9:1. We start there and just read through a few verses. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which that's what they talk, how they referred to Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, I would say this dude was about as anti-Christian as you can get. I don't think you could get any further away from wanting to follow Christ. But God had different plans for him. So let's read on. You know, they're they're traveling and stuff, and it goes on, and it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's what you call an awakening. How would you like to have God just go, here he is. It says, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. In other words, God's like, hey, I'm the one you're persecuting, but here's the plan that I have for your life. Let's go on. It says, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. That would really make you want to change your life if you had an experience like that. Hopefully. But you know, there are so many people have near-death experiences, and you listen to it on the news, and they're trying to give credit in all directions except for where the credit ought to go to why they're still here. People just, you know, it's just mind-boggling how hard it is to reach people and to get them to try to change their mind. But let's read on and see what else it says in here. It says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on his name. In other words, this dude, he was so bad that Ananias, he didn't want no part of him. He didn't want to go there and pray for this guy. But here's what God said. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument. In other words, God says, I have chosen this guy to carry my name before the Gentiles, which is us. So here's basically what happened to Paul. God called him. Then, do you think Paul had a chance to say no? Do you think he could have said no? The Bible says we have free will. Now, after an experience like that, it'd probably be really, really hard to say no. But I believe he could have said no. And I also believe we'd still be standing here doing this because God would have found somebody else to do the job that he would have wanted Paul to do. But God had a job for him. Why did Paul change? Did he all of a sudden, start thinking different? No, he didn't. God was what changed his mind. When God appeared to him on that road, he became so real that Paul changed his mind, no problem. Paul said, I know you're real all of a sudden. I mean, he just changed 100%, went from this to that. And the point I'm trying to make with this is, you know, I stand here, a lot of you have heard me preach many times, and you always hear us say, preachers say, you got to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You got to accept him as your Savior. That way, your life will get better, and someday you'll be in heaven with him. And you're sitting there going, well, yeah, I want to believe that. Well, I guarantee you, if you truly want to believe that, that God will be knocking on your heart. The Holy Spirit comes and knocks on your heart and says, hey, here I am. Make that decision. Now, it's not going to be probably as obvious as it was with Paul, but I still remember when I was saved years ago, my wife was saved the same day. And with me, I'm not a touchy-feely type person, so it felt, okay, I said the prayer, the Bible says this. So I believed it because the Bible said that. Now, my wife, her experience was awesome. She felt like Jesus just came there and just wrapped his arms around her, and she just knew he showed up. So I don't know everybody. I don't know how people will experience God, but God is an experience. You can't experience him. You know, one, I was asked a question a while back, you know, how do you know God is real? Well, the Bible says if you seek him, you will find him. He will reveal himself to you. He guarantees it. So, yes, you can still experience God. But the point I'm trying to make here with repentance is God calls you. When you answer that call, he will change you. You start following God and things will become different. I know in my case, when I quit, when I was first saved, you know, repentance is supposed to be, is I'm going this way, I figure out I'm doing wrong and I need better, so now I go this way. This way is the world and all this fun, because sin is fun, believe it or not. There's a lot of sin that I really enjoyed and still probably would, but God says, no, go this way. So you turn around and you go the other way. That's true repentance. But you can't do that all by yourself. And like in my case, the part that was awesome about this, I was a foreman on a construction site. Well, it was the Lathrop Good Samaritan is the name of the place. It's a big old folks home, retirement nursing type home. And if you work construction, you know how construction workers are. And I was just as good as the rest of them. I mean, the language, the insinuations, I mean, everything. It gets pretty raunchy. And I still remember, like, man, how can I go there and try to be different? And you know what? It was easy. All of a sudden, I didn't want to cuss anymore. My favorite four-letter word, all of a sudden, I didn't want to use anymore. I mean, it was just, there was changes happening in my life that I know I didn't instigate. And that's what true repentance is. So when you feel Jesus knocking on your heart and you say, yes, Jesus, I want you as my Savior, I guarantee you things will change. And that's why it's got to be a true confession from the heart. It can't be just something you say. You know, so many times you see it on TV and stuff, and I don't want to pick on TV preachers, but I don't like a whole lot of them. There is some good ones, don't get me wrong, but some of it is so commercialized, and it's about money and about everything except for getting your needs met. But if you truly make that decision for Jesus and you decide to turn around and go the other way, he's there carrying you. It's like that picture you've probably seen, the footprints in the sand picture. You know, there was two sets of footprints, and then all of a sudden there's one, and the guy says, well, Jesus, what happened to you? You left me. And Jesus goes, nah, when you see that one set of footprints, that's when I lifted you up and carried you. And that is how it truly is in real life. But you gotta make the effort. That's the one thing. You know, Christianity is the one place where effort counts. You know, everywhere else, E for effort doesn't mean a whole lot, but it means a whole bunch there. Because when you make an effort, God will meet you right there and take you the rest of the way. Like I said, if you feel the call, answer it, because it's not going to be that hard. Yeah, Christianity is not for sissies. There is things that, you know, you struggle with and you deal with, but you always have Jesus there to help you. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we love to serve you, but at times it does get tough. Repentance is an ongoing thing. It's not something we just do the day we're saved and then we never do it again. We have to turn from stuff and follow you all the time. Because the world has so many things that are fun and enjoyable that we shouldn't be doing. But with your help, we can succeed. So I ask right now, you give every person here strength. If they don't know you, I ask that you'd give them strength to say yes to your Holy Spirit. And the ones that do know you, I ask that you'd give them strength to walk away from the things that bother them. Lord, help them. Help them walk tall and know that they will succeed because of the promises that you have made. We just thank you for that, Lord. Lord, as we get ready to go race, I just ask for protection on all of us. Lord, keep us safe. This is not a safe sport. We know that. But we like to do it anyway. And when you do dangerous things, sometimes bad things happen. But Lord, we ask for your protection on everybody here. Just watch over us. Let us have a good time and remember to do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.